Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm William English, and first of all, an announcement. This coming week sees an event at Beaconsfield Gallery called Soundtrap 4 by John Wynne. That's the exhibition runs from the 9th of September to the 18th of October at Beaconsfield, 22 Newport Street, London, SE116AY. And that seems to be Tuesday to Sunday, 11 until 5. Soundtrap 4 by John Wynne is an installation for pianola, 300 recycled hi-fi speakers and a vacuum cleaner, a 32-channel digital sound controller throws a pianola and a collection of more than 300 recycled hi-fi speakers into dynamic relationship in John Wynne's new sonic sculpture. The Soundtrap Research Residency at Beaconsfield has enabled Wynne to explore its architectural acoustics with precision. The spatial composition is informed by everyday noises reaching the room from beyond its walls, and high-level audio tools have allowed the artist to experiment with the way in which computers can be used to, in effect, draw and sculpt with moving sound. A 3-month research period has led to a computer-controlled installation offset by the acoustic interventions of a modified player piano, powered by a domestic vacuum cleaner and reprogrammed with a new score encoded on its paper roll. And the following is a quote by the artist John Wynne. The Victorian technology of the player piano is well suited to the Beaconsfield building, which was originally a ragged school for deprived children. I've used it not so much as a musical instrument, but visually as a sculptural element and sonically as a kind of tone generator to explore the remarkable acoustics of the space. The look and sound of the piece has developed gradually over the residency. It hovers on the borders of sound and music, playing on the aura of the absent, redundant performer and on the personality and history of the gathered speakers. For more information, you can see John Wynne's research log at www.sensitivebrigade.com. And then there will be a special event on the 24th of September at 7 o'clock. Rex Lawson will give a rare performance of Conlon Nancarrow Studies for Player Piano. And we'll join Ed Baxter and John Wynne in a discussion on sound art, player pianos and cultural redundancy. The event will be broadcast on Resonance FM. So that's the 24th of September at 7 o'clock. Admission for the performance is £5. For bookings, contact Beaconsfield, info@beaconsfield.limited.uk. OK, well, all of that was seems to be a good opportunity to devote this week's programme to player piano music or pianola music. So first off is some tracks by Alfredo Casella, composed in 1918, called Trois Pièces pour Pianola, Prelude, Valse and Ragtime. And these come from an LP called Primitivismo e Mito della Machina. And that's about as much as I can tell you, because the whole, well, the gatefold LP is entirely in Italian. But anyway, so here we are, three short compositions for pianola by Alfredo Casella.
Thank you.
Those were three compositions for player piano or pianola by Alfredo Casella, dating from those compositions were from 1918. Yes, now we should get straight on to Conlon Nancarrow. And these following tracks are from Conlon Nancarrow Lost Works, Last Works, a CD. And this includes some interviews with Conlon Nancarrow with Charles Amerkanian. And we'll just get straight on to that.
Punch your own music onto the rolls without going to a commercial institution of some sort. How did you get the idea to get a hole punching machine to get started on this? Why did you get involved in it, and how did you actually physically do the work of punching the roll?
For years I'd been obsessed with this idea of player pianos and, I mean, somehow to do it on it. And I went to New York asking all over the place, people who, there were places that made player piano rolls. Oh, this is an interesting story, incidentally. I don't know, did I ever tell you this story about how I found out about making a machine?
No, never did.
Oh, well, I'll tell you now.
Okay, great.
I mean, this is really folkloric.
All right.
No, I first went to this place in the Bronx, this player piano company that had a... as a matter of fact, I think they still make rolls. Now it's just popular music. And I found this one guy there who was, he's very cooperative and helped me and everything. He had in this company, they make the thing with, I told you about these big machines that run things out, wholesale. But he had this little machine that he used for, I don't know what the things he was doing with whatever. For punching, it was similar to mine. As a matter of fact, this was copied from his machine. Well, after that, I went, I forget now, it was somewhere down in the village. A really strange character. I forget all these people's names. What he did? Only repaired medieval instruments, lutes and who knows what. I mean, a real character. And... I was in there, I was talking with but a very interesting guy. And I was telling him my problem, how are we going to make a machine that I said, I know someone who has a machine, I want it sort of copied, the measurements and everything. He said, look, I have a good friend who's has a machine shop. It's a strange combination, this medieval music shop. And so, he got his machine shop friend. And all of us went up to the guy who had the thing he punched with, and so it was the one who had the medieval music shop who understood the problem. The other guy was just he's a friend, but he just knew you can measure steel here and you go this and whatever, and between the two of them they worked out made this machine
made
for him.
Made a design for it?
Even much better than the other guys. Because I told him, later I changed that also, so that it was even better yet. But those two guys, they gave me in 1948, I guess, 47, I don't remember. And, they gave me a project of $300 to make this machine. And I had to stay there in New York for 3 months, and problems came up, this, that, and the other.
Oh, you were living in Mexico at the time. You came up for the...
That's the only time I've gone to the States
since
came here.
Since
1940.
Oh, okay.
No, but I went just for that. So I got
You couldn't
that.
Have it done in Mexico?
No, I finally, after 20 years, I found someone who maybe could have done it.
Uh-huh. Well, but this was the more direct one.
They made this thing. And $300, and it was months and months and months. And after it was finished, this guy said to me, okay, I've told you $300, but if I had to do it again, I'd charge you I don't know what.
Uh-huh.
No. And that time I was a little short on money, and so I came back, brought it back. And several years later, when I had some more money, I sent this guy $500, sort of a... Thank you. Because no, they were really very, very good on doing the whole thing.
Well, were there machines to punch holes in player piano rolls by hand in existence at the time? I mean, you say this guy had one.
Yeah, he had one, but it was a little. Well, it's sort of like mine.
It's not a commercial.
No.
In other words, when they punched holes, what happened when the Ampico people punched holes for a standard piano composition?
Look, the Ampico company, which was what they call these reproducing pianos, you saw these things, the artists, Ornstein and Rachmaninoff. I mean, they played...
Playing their own pieces.
Yeah, but you know what they did? I've never seen this. I've been always fascinated by the idea. One of these people would sit down at the piano and just play. And while they were playing, a roll would go through the piano, a blank roll, with ink, inking where they pushed a note down.
In other words, did it also give the dynamics?
No. That they put in later.
That's later.
No, because they couldn't record that. But the inking.
The note.
Yeah, it goes from here.
But that
to
didn't
here.
Make a hole in the paper yet.
Oh no! It's just drawn. No, and then after that, they went back and did it by hand. And after they did it by hand, these big commercial machines
could duplicate that.
Duplicate the thing.
I think I understand for the first time.
Okay. Yeah.
But there was commercial duplication of the roles.
Of course. Even these so-called reproducing things. The artist, you must know that Debussy and Strauss and Busoni and all kinds of people recorded in there were different types of pianos, but recorded in that, basically in that, what do you call it?
In that manner.
Technique, yeah.
Okay, that's Conlon Nancarrow being interviewed by Charles Amerkanian from a CD called Conlon Nancarrow Lost Works, Last Works. And we might have time for a bit more of that later. But first of all, we're going to play a track by Conlon Nancarrow from Complete Studies for Player Piano, Volume 4. And this is study number 12.
musical activity in Mexico, does it include any of your performances, or do you sort of stay out of the...
Well, I told you about 15 years ago, I gave a concert in Bayou. I told you, no?
Yeah, this is a fascinating story. Let's hear it again.
Nothing. I just gave a concert. And the 10 people who came were my friends. And, you know, they'd heard it anyhow.
In your home.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. The whole thing was really ridiculous.
Well, you know, one of the fascinating stories about your career is the one about the performance they did of your septet. I wish you'd tell that one to people who are listening.
Oh, well, no, there's nothing strange about it. It was the League of Composers in New York, you know, they were going to put on this concert. Well, it was a concert of several pieces. And this one that I'd written, this septet. By the way, you know, all these people who played in this were, you know, they were top people from, you know, radio stations. And I mean, they were top musicians who could read music just like that. But the one rehearsal, let's see, I forget, four people came, and the second rehearsal, there were only two rehearsals, four, and there was only an overlap of one. There were different four, whatever. And so the final concert, and they even had a conductor for this, you know, because it's a little complicated, and in the middle of it, and not in the middle, the beginning, you know, it just didn't get together. Everything was lost, and it was a real disaster.
They didn't rehearse it together.
There was never one rehearsal of all the people. Well, okay.
Well, that's is that the first time you got the idea of eliminating the performer altogether? I mean, after all, if
no, I'd had it before because I'd written things for performers before that, and had
bad experiences.
Yeah, sort of. So no, I've ever since I've been writing music, I was dreaming of getting rid of the performer.
Well, you know, I think a lot of composers have wondered and thought and wished for that. Sometimes performers are very often the people who don't want to try the new compositions. They want to try something tried and true and that shows off their technique. But I don't know of anybody who so thoroughly abandoned the idea of performers.
No, I don't think you're right on that. You know,
electronic music?
No. The thing of performing. And you know, once I had a discussion with Copeland, he said, he was discussing this thing of electronic or mechanical or whatever, music. And he said, I go to a concert, and to me, it's so exciting. He said, I don't want the first horn to miss the note, but the fact that he might miss it, the tension of might miss it. No, but I told him, I said, well, I'd rather have a good recording where he hit the note. I mean, not where he might not hit it. No, he said, that's very boring, because, you know he's going to hit it. And also, you know, this whole thing of that's a whole cultural thing, I mean, traditional, of people who go to concerts and this whole atmosphere, the orchestra tuning up and the, you know, that's another point of view, that's all.
Yeah.
I don't...
I know you were interested for a time in doing mechanical music that was... that was revolved around percussion instruments. You actually began building an instrument.
Well, we're rapidly running out of time, so I'm having to fade that interview out, but that goes on for maybe another 5 minutes. That's Conlon Nancarrow talking to Charles Amerkanian, and the reason for today's program sort of focusing on pianola or player piano music was in advance, or is in advance, of Soundtrap 4, an installation for pianola by John Wynne, coming up at the Beaconsfield Gallery this week, starting 9th of September. Okay, we've probably just about got time to play another short, concise track by Conlon Nancarrow.
you're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM.